The reading is from Luke 14, verse 1, followed by verses 7 to 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. I can see some very smiley places. You can get ready when you like, okay? But listen, who doesn't like a party? Or perhaps you're not. Yes, I knew would put his hand up because he doesn't like parties. But who doesn't like going out for a meal with friends? Do you know, we love going out with our friends. Some of us really like a good party. And I bet if I gave you a moment to think, you could think of the best party or the best meal that you've ever had. I expect some of you have got a good idea about what party ranks right up there. Or perhaps it was the most embarrassing moment you've ever had at a party. You know, you go dressed as a chicken because it's a fancy dress party. You turn up and it isn't a fancy dress party. And you spend the whole evening dressed as a chicken. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we love to come into your presence. And we ask that you will give us ears and hearts open to hear something from you this morning, each one of us. Amen. So, when you get dressed to go to something like a party, I bet you spend a lot of time working out what you're going to wear. And I expect some of you, who went to a school disco this year? Anybody here been to a school disco? Yeah, one or two. How about anybody here went to a prom night this last summer? I know some of you have been to proms and you will have planned in great detail what you wear. I went to a wedding recently and I planned what I was going to wear. But we wear clothes for other reasons, and I've got Harlan, Emily, Ben and Martha are going to come up here and show us some of the different clothing that we wear for different occasions. So come on up, please. If you'd like to stand there, Martha and Ben and Harlan and Emily. If you come and stand here, Emily, and I'll just get my microphone. So they are very bravely coming up here to talk about what they've got on. So Harlan, I've put you up here first because I don't want you passing out because of all your layers. So what are you dressed for?
The cold.
The cold. And when is it cold? It's cold
in the winter.
It's cold in the winter. Why do you need to protect yourself from the cold? Do you know?
So you don't get hypothermia.
Oh, yes. So you don't get hypothermia. Did you know that hypothermia can kill? It's a nasty thing. We have to protect our bodies from the cold. But you are not dressed for the cold, are you? No. So you're dressed for?
The summer.
The summer. And what does it get like in the summer? Cold or?
It gets really hot.
Yeah, so why have you got a sun hat and sunglasses on?
To protect your head and eyes.
Yeah, and you'd wear all kinds of things. I mean, if you were going around in your swimming costume, you'd put cream on as well, wouldn't you?
Yes.
To protect your body. Very important, because being too hot makes you sick as well. So, I've just got to ask this, because I've been longing to. Where were you last Sunday?
At the cricket match.
The cricket match. He was at the cricket match last Sunday. I am so jealous, but jealousy is not a Christian virtue, so I'm confessing my sins. Ben, you are so fortunate. But you are obviously into cricket.
Yes.
So, talk us through, you've got what? What are they?
Thigh pads.
Your pads, go on, yeah?
Leg pads, gloves and a helmet.
Right. Why?
Because the ball is very hard.
The ball is very hard. How fast does the ball travel?
In adult cricket, up to Jofra Archer, who bowls in England, does 92, but...
92 what?
Miles per hour.
Oh! If that hit you, you could be in serious trouble, right?
Yeah.
So you have to wear this to protect you. Thank you. Okay, you look lovely, Martha. So what are you, what have you got on? You've got apron, and what are these?
Gloves.
Rubber gloves. Why, what are you protecting yourself from?
Chemicals.
Dirt. Chemicals and dirt. You can do a bit of cleaning. You can do a bit of cleaning. No, notice that, Mum. She is not doing any cleaning, but she is dressed to protect herself. Right, thank you very much. If you go up there, you'll find a packet of Smarties. Please help yourself to some Smarties and go and sit down. And give them a round of applause, please. Thank you. You can take it all off now. I know you're longing to do that. From time to time, we all wear clothing to protect our bodies from harm. And actually, the Bible has also got some clothing that protects us from harm. And the Bible tells us about this in 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. All of you, clothe yourselves in humility. Right, so where is Skye? Come on, Skye. Come and stand here, my lovely. We're going to go clothe Skye in humility. There we are, darling. Thank you. We're going to clothe Skye in humility because what does humility protect us from then? What does humility protect us from? Well, it protects us from pride. Pride says, I know better than God. Pride says, I am better than you. Pride says, I will live my life my way. No one's going to tell me what to do. Pride says, I'm never wrong about anything. Pride says, I deserve to be served by other people. And pride is dangerous. It can harm us. It can break friendships. It can ruin relationships. And it certainly gets in our way of our relationship with God. Pride has the letter I right in the middle. Just like sin has the letter I right in the middle. And so the Bible says we need to protect ourselves from pride. But what does humility look like? Well, let's have a look at what humility looks like. Humility says, let's see if I can do this without making a mess. Humility says God is great. Humility says, but I'm small. God is great, but I'm small. God says, I'm not better than other people. I'm not better than you. Humility says, and I will serve other people. That's what humility looks like. And that's what's behind our story from the Bible, our reading from the Bible this morning. It's about wearing humility when we deal with other people. That must be really hot. Let me take it off. Give Skye a round of applause. Skye, thank you, darling. Now, I love stories, and I want to tell you a true story. About 20 years ago, Peter and I were involved in a project to reach a community with the love of Jesus. So you say, big deal, that's just what we're doing here. Every Sunday morning, we went to worship with the church. And every Sunday afternoon, we went and worked in this community. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday afternoon. Now, this community was a place of real deprivation and hardship. It was a place where drugs, alcohol, violence were commonplace. And even back then, knives were a real problem. The school where I worked, we had to call the police one day because an 8-year-old boy had brought a gun into school. Now, it turned out to be a toy gun, but the problem was, it was a real possibility that it would have been a real gun. One day, myself and another female member of staff had to try and negotiate with a guy who was so high on something that he was wielding an enormous hammer around and threatening everybody. There was the youngest cat burglar I've ever come across. They were in nursery, in nappies, trained to climb through cat flaps and dog flaps of people's houses, to walk up to the front door, open it up, and let their mum and dad in to do the joint. 40 children in this average-sized primary school, so about size of Hampton Hargate, perhaps. 40 children had parents or close relatives in prison. 40 of them. And 25% of the school population, primary school, had lost a close relative through death, someone being in prison, desertion, and it was commonplace for children not to live at home with their parents because it was too unsafe. That was the kind of community we were working in. It was New Year's Day, 1999. Peter and I were out for coffee. Even then, we did coffee a lot. And Peter said, I've got a great idea. He didn't say it quite like that because he's much calmer than I am. But he said, got a great idea. Why don't we hold a party next year, which is 2000, for all those that were working within our community? Great, says I, let's do it. We need a venue. Where can we hold such a party? The school said, you can have the school. Okay, 1999, autumn, we're gearing up for this party. There's Peter, there's me, there's the vicar, Stuart, and the vicar's wife, Sarah. We can't do it on our own. So we said to the church, come on, come on. Who's going to serve at this party? Who's going to give up their time on the most important, the most unique New Year's Eve ever to serve at this community party? Well, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? We've got a team. We've got a team. And then we said to the rest of the church, we need food, we need money, we need prizes for the games, we need decoration, we need people to give out the invitations, because you know what? Everybody's going to be invited to this party, and it's going to be the best party ever. New Year's Eve, 1999, we spent the whole day decorating the school. And it looked gorgeous. And the food started to come in, and the table looked magnificent. But would anybody come? Would anybody come? Yes. Yes, they did. We had the family whose wife had got a very violent husband. We had the family whose children, none of them were allowed to live at home because it was too unsafe. We had the family who'd witnessed just a fortnight before horrible happening that their relative was hurt very badly in a mugging. It was very, very hard work. At 9 o'clock that night, Peter said to me, "We've only got to survive another 3 hours." As we watched the guests leave, I think it was the vicar said, "Oh, we didn't have to call for the police." And somebody else said, "Or the ambulance? Or the fire brigade?" And then we looked at the school and it looked like a scene from a disaster movie. Oh, no, we can't face this. So we went home. The next day, when everybody else or the rest of the world was sleeping in from their partying, we crawled to the school. And I thought it might be just Peter and me and the vicar and his vicar's wife. But no, the team, church team, turned up again. And they came and we cleaned that school. And do you know, there wasn't a scratch anywhere. There was no graffiti. You don't know what a relief that was. There were no smashed toilet seats. There was no smashed glass. The school was as we had found it. But what was more important is the word out on the street was, "That was the best party ever. Can we have one next year?" And Peter said to me, "No, in another millennium." So why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you? Because it's a modern example of what we read in the Bible. It's a modern example of what the story that Jesus told. It was a team effort. We're a team, aren't we? We're a team. And when we reach out into our community with the love of Jesus, when we reach out, when Sylvia or Rachel or Joy or Toby say, "We need volunteers because we're going to do this event or that event," what's your response going to be? Because we're a team. We do it together. No one can do it on their own. And what about us individually, as I draw to a close? Well, I want you to think about this very carefully. When you go back to school next week, hands up if you will go to school in your underpants and nothing else. Oh, really, Emily? No. No one here will go to school in just their underpants, will you? Nobody here goes to work in just their underpants. Nobody goes shopping in just their underpants. We put clothes on. And I love this, these words from Colossians. If we just put them up, please. "So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it." Wow. I have got designer label clothing. Designer label clothing. And God tells us, never ever be without it. Don't leave your house in your spiritual underpants, okay? Because you've got a designer label wardrobe just for you. What about your neighbour who never puts their dustbins away? Or your colleague who always parks his car in the wrong place? Or those parents, "I would never bring my children up the way they bring their children up." Or that child in your class, so annoying. So annoying. Do you know what? Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them. And we are called to be like him. And we need to love them too. My granddaughter said I could share this with you. She was having her 9th birthday party. In her class was a little boy, or a 9-year-old, who had some form of disability. He was very loud. He was very annoying. He had great difficulty behaving himself. But no one ever invited him to their birthday party. So she said, I'm going to invite him to mine. And his mum said, oh, I'm really worried about this. He is so badly behaved. But you know what? They didn't need to worry. He was so happy to be invited to a party. His parents were so thrilled that their son had been invited to a party. And do you know what? Jesus was thrilled too. So the next time you're planning your birthday party, is there someone in your class that never gets invited? Perhaps you might consider inviting them to yours. How can we love those in our street, where we work, where we play? Because if you say you love Jesus, you have to love your neighbour. You can't have one without the other. If you love Jesus, you have to love your neighbour too. And that's the challenge of our reading, isn't it? To show unconditional love, unconditional respect, to humble ourselves in our attitude towards others. And I'd like to finish with just reading a song which we're going to visit in our prayer time later. So just listen to these words. Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet. Show me how much you love humility. Spirit be the star that leads me to the humble heart of love that I see in you. Because you are the God of the broken, friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary and embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me, because you are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. Amen.